Hello and welcome back to the Marketing Freaks podcast. In this week's episode, we're talking about a channel that sometimes seems to get a little bit lost by the wayside, and that is email. We thought it'd be really good to kind of run through some best practice and some tips to improve your email campaigns and your performance from the channel. And to do that, we have an amazing guest, Will Wright from Intuit MailChimp. So this episode is such a great opportunity to get some advice on email from one of the biggest email marketing platforms on the planet. Really hope you enjoy this episode. If you do, please come and subscribe on all the usual podcast platforms, and let's get started. We're going to be talking about how to do email properly. Obviously, being at Intuit MailChimp. Is that the right way around?
That is. Intuit Perfect. MailChimp. We were MailChimp. But obviously we went through our acquisition, and now, yeah, we are Intuit MailChimp.
Fantastic, which is brilliant. So you are in a perfect position to talk about email as a channel and how people should do it properly.
Exactly.
My first question is, why do you think email sometimes gets left behind a little bit? And what I mean by that is, when we're working with brands, there's so much focus on paid media, you know, customer acquisition, organic SEO, organic social, content production, all those great things. And they are really great, important things to focus on. But email sometimes feels like it gets left as a secondary thought. What's your take on that? And why do you think that, if you think that's the case, why?
I definitely think it's the case. And I think it's just purely down to the fact that email has been around for such a long time. And so MailChimp has just gone through its MailChimp has just turned 23 years old. It's just had its 23rd year anniversary. And off the back of that, I mean, I remember setting up my first email way back when. So it's a channel that's been around for a very long time. And I think it's a channel that has gone through so many different changes over the time in order to keep up with other digital channels. But I think with the wake of digital media, and things like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts and video and AI, all these different changes means that marketers kind of need to be all over the place all at one time.
Yeah.
And email is one of those channels that might not necessarily be like the sexiest, in the sense that it's not at the sort of the same sort of it's not as new as these other channels. But yeah, it's one of those that I'm sure marketers are kind of prioritizing other channels ahead of email at this time.
But it always converts so well. Like if you look at any e-com sites analytics or even a B2B brand that's running a regular nurture program, 9 times out of 10, email will be right up there at the sharp end in terms of top converting channels.
100%.
So it feels like if you're not really thinking about email, you are missing a trick and essentially leaving money on the table.
You are. Yeah, exactly. 100%. And I think a lot of brands are still in that headspace of like email is good for sending a monthly newsletter, for example.
Yeah.
They think email is really good at sort of communicating to their whole audience at one time. But really, like a lot of brands are missing the trick in terms of the different automations and the newer technologies that are now involved in these platforms. So yeah, there's definitely money left on the table if some of the best practices aren't being followed.
Yep.
And these best practices are really easy to set up. It's super easy to begin integrating your store into your email marketing platform. But yeah, I think a lot of these best practices just purely maybe aren't being followed because marketers, as we said, just really aren't prioritizing email as a channel, you know?
It's when you think about it in terms of conversion rates, and if you were to prioritize things by conversion rate, it is definitely feels like a missed trick. So where should people start? Let's say someone goes, oh my goodness, we've left this on the table for too long. We need to address email. What's the first thing you would recommend someone does?
Well, I would say the number one thing you should be looking at is looking at your site, first of all. Like, what have you built your site with? Is it a Shopify? Is it a WooCommerce? Is it a BigCommerce? And the first thing I would do is look at how you can then integrate your site into your email marketing platform. That's the number one thing that you should start with. Then after that, you should be looking at the different segmentations you can put into play. So that's understanding your audience and understanding like the sort of key audiences that you should be speaking to, first of all. Off the back of that, you can then start with your marketing automation. So you can be setting up sort of custom journeys whereby you can then start communicating to your audiences automatically based on different actions they're taking on site or actions they're not taking on site. For example, if you have a new customer that has just signed up to your email list, a great automation that is so easy to implement is your sort of welcome series, sort of welcoming that customer to your site, sort of showcasing your brand values, your USP, and maybe offering a sort of first time discount. So that's one thing that I would say that's very easy to set up. Other automations that I think are sort of more foundational would be the sort of abandoned basket.
Yep.
So at that point, you are sort of targeting your customers who are at that right, that sweet spot where they are just about to convert. Life happens, they fall off, they slam their laptop lid shut. And it's a good automation, and it's a good way for brands to be communicating to that audience and being like, look, you've got items in your basket, don't forget about them, or follow up 3 days later with a 10% discount to then sort of nurture that audience through to purchase.
There's loads in that. There's tons there.
So many different ways. And I think email is so versatile as a channel.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can be so creative with the things that you can do with it. But in terms of the bare bones of it, yeah, so getting your segmentation right is huge. Getting the integrations in play. So if you're feeding your email marketing data, good data, it's good data in, good data out. And then obviously focusing on the automations piece as well, because at the end of the day, that is going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah,
takes the manual work away from email marketing that I think a lot of marketers think it is, and just gives people time back.
Yeah, it's all there. And it's, with segmentation, let's go back to that, because I think it's, first off, it's really interesting. Secondly, I think a lot of people would look at a segmentation project as a lot of hard work. You know, that maybe they've over the years built up a database and it's one big chunk of data. And I'm sure there's tons of people listening to this in that position where they've got, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 people on their list, all in one bucket,
yeah,
all in one audience, right? So how should people start to think about segmentation? I don't know if we could think about an example of an e-commerce business or a travel business or something like that, but where do people start with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think segmentation really comes into play when a brand is aware of its sort of business and marketing objectives, first of all. Like, if they have a good understanding of really what they want to drive off of the back of their email marketing. Segmentation could be different groups of people that are highly engaged in your brand. So, for example, a brand could look at sort of targeting their top 10% of most engaged audiences. So I would say for any brand, sort of go to the drawing board and sort of figure out, first of all, what is your marketing objective? What is your business objective? And then you can start segmenting your audiences based off the back of that, first of all. A really cool example that that I had was when I used to work at TikTok, my previous company. We worked a lot with some football teams. And their biggest marketing objective was to drive community, drive followers on their other social channels. And they did some really cool work with their first party data. And I think a lot of brands don't really utilize the first party data that they actually have to inform campaigns across other channels. And they segmented their audience to basically target their top 5% most engaged audiences to then drive traffic to their other channels, like their TikToks, like their TikTok Reels, for example. Like, and just emailing them saying, we've got a new TikTok channel. We're curating content on a daily basis. Come check us out on here. So that's a really cool way that I've seen some businesses use segmentation in a really creative way.
That's really interesting. And it's not just about following best practice of geographical segmentation or demographic segmentation. It's really about going, what's the actual purpose of email in our mix?
Exactly.
And I don't know, it might be you've got an issue with low repeat purchase rates. So that's the job at hand. So then I guess you segment your audience in a completely different way, if that's the case.
100%.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And is it as scary and difficult and manual as people think, right?
It's really not. I think when we throw around words like marketing automation, like, some people just cower. And it's a big word, it's a scary word, and I think it's a buzzword, right? When we think about automation, we think maybe about sort of like Gen AI and all these new advancements in digital marketing. And while there are changes happening, it's really simple to get started. We, as a platform, we have over 300 different integrations, and you can integrate via server-to-server integrations to your website, like using platforms like Shopify, for example. And as and when you sort of have that data coming in, you can then get started with all those automations. We have 150 pre-built, I think it's not 150, but we have a lot. We have a lot of pre-built journeys, customer journeys and automations that you can put into play just through a few clicks.
Yeah, nice. And so doing that heavy lifting is no longer really heavy lifting, is it? Because you can, like you were saying, you could segment your audience on my top 25% most engaged customers, you know, whatever your criteria. I assume that you can do that based on integrations, so it's relatively quick and easy. Then get your workflows set up and get at least the basic flows going quite quickly.
That's it. Yeah. It's amazing. Just about getting the foundations correct at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you can start building. You can start building on that.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to invest a little bit of time to get a lot of time back.
It blows my mind. Like, I remember talking to someone a while ago and they were talking about how pre-email they used to do mail shots. And how much it costs to do a mail shot, you know, a post mail shot with postcards. And now the fact you can still, I mean, maybe I'm simple, but the fact you can get in touch with 20,000, 100,000, 200,000 people just like that.
Yeah. And it's a one-to-one communication.
Yeah. It's mad. We haven't spoken much yet about copy templates and things like this. Yes. So let's say you've got your segmentation done. You got your basics in place. You got some workflows in place. Everything's kind of there. Mm-hmm. What then? Because you've got to start understanding what copy is going to work. You obviously need to build some templates. So where do people start in terms of copy templates, the actual email content?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's multiple different ways you can get started when thinking about the creatives and the assets that you're going to use for your email marketing campaigns. We have an amazing feature. It's our brand kit. So you can literally copy and paste your brand's URL, input it into our platform, and it pulls your logo, your images, your sort of brand colors, your typography straight into our platform. So it sort of gives you all the sort of the starting points. So it's a really good place to start from that perspective. Other than that, I mean, I would say once you have your template in place using that feature, you can then start to be really creative in the way that you sort of build out those campaigns going forward. So using a sort of A/B testing as well, testing different copy, different subject lines, different imagery, just to sort of get an understanding of what sort of works best for the customers that you're going after.
Yeah, and when we talk about AI and copy, I think it's a really interesting one on that front too, because the way I've used it in the past with MailChimp, and I think it's worth stating as well that this is not like a sponsored episode yet, but it's not. It's like, I've used MailChimp for a long time. We wanted to talk about email and feels like a really good fit, right? So anyway, I think it's really important to state. Anyway, so I've used MailChimp for a long time, and the AI features that I find really helpful are, you know, if I'm writing a subject line for an email, getting a bit of support in terms of here's another suggestion, or yeah, actually that looks pretty good, or try and add this in, is really helpful, particularly when you're busy and you've got to get something out and it's got to be good. I find that really helpful. What I don't want to do yet is rely on AI to completely write my email copy for me. I love using it as a bit of help and support and for other ideas, but I wouldn't yet let AI write my subject line, write my copy. What's your take on AI and copy?
I would say mine's pretty similar. I think, and I've spoken to other agencies about this, and I think AI is really good for ideation. It's a really good starting point. It's really good at giving us ideas of the things that we can do, and it's really good at giving us structure as well.
Yeah.
It's never going to replace the strategy. It might do in the future, but it's really helpful at giving sort of ideating ideas and then also helping us implement.
Yeah, and just it's such a time save. And it's, I think when you're, when you are, most people doing this job will be busy and there'll be deadlines and everything else and stuff has to go out, and just having that extra little bit of a kick.
That extra kick, that's all we need.
It's really helpful, isn't it? Okay, so what about templates and design? Because there's, you read tons of best practice around email structure, and do you have a really heavily designed template? Do you go with something simple? Obviously, there's no one size fits all here, but what should people be thinking about when they're starting to look at templates?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, the bare bones need to be there in terms of the brand guidelines. You need to have the right colours, the same typography, and the same sort of brand feel that would be in place across other channels. That's really important. So you need to have that same template across all of your different marketing communications via email. I would say it really depends on the objective of the campaign. I'm just going to go back to that one again.
Like, yeah.
What are you trying to drive? Are you trying to nurture your audience? Are you trying to prime that audience into a conversion? Is it a heavy sales email? Like, there are so many different things that you can build into that. But the beauty about it is that you have the flexibility to do that. So you can pull in sort of product recommendations directly from your site that is personalized to the audiences that you're targeting. You can have, again, sort of imagery from your social channels put into it as well, if you're looking to, again, drive traffic to the other channels that you've got. I would say, yeah, getting a template in place is super important, but the things that you then build on that really is dictated, I guess, by the objective, like that things like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, which I think also comes back to this whole challenge with email, in that so many people do it because they feel they have to. And it's like, oh, I've got to get some email. Do email.
Exactly, yeah, 100%.
And actually, they skip that bit. It sounds so obvious, doesn't it? But they skip the bit where they go, what's the point of having email in place? What job is it here to do for me and my business?
Yeah, and I think that's when the monthly newsletter comes in, right?
Oh, just do a newsletter.
Just do a newsletter.
Which we're probably guilty of that as well. Like, it's so common. It's so common. We're talking a lot about e-com, but B2B and lead generation-based businesses, email is still such a fundamental part of it in terms of nurturing leads, nurturing inquiries. Have you got anything specific you can talk to in terms of B2B and lead gen as well?
Yeah, so I mean, the main focus for us at the moment is speaking through, I guess, e-com, but it's important not to leave the B2B side behind, yep. Right? B2B obviously via email is massive, and I think B2B is, you have such a hard job, right, at nurturing and understanding really what sort of content to deliver to these businesses at the right time. So you need to be very conscious of, you've got to have a really good sort of value proposition, and there's got to be a really good value exchange. That's the sort of key thing I would be thinking about, because businesses, I mean, if you're on LinkedIn now, I mean, the amount of messages that you get on a daily basis of someone reaching out to you trying to sell you a product, like, there's little cut through. So you've got to be very aware of that when sort of doing your email marketing for a B2B business, because people will unsubscribe. They would want to declutter their inbox. So again, the segmentation piece really comes into play. Like, I mean, if I was a brand reaching out to other brands via email, I would be just focusing on, first of all, like, who is my most engaged audience, first of all, and then sort of going from there.
Yeah, we actually, on one of the very, very early episodes of this podcast, we spoke to the head of growth at a business in the US called Morning Brew. I don't know if you ever subscribed to Morning Brew. Huge newsletter business, and we were talking about their growth fundamentally, but we were talking a bit about email in general and how few people make or try and make their email its own thing. Or what I mean by that is not just a list of links off to other content, not just a list of here's what's happened on our blog this month and all the usual stuff, but actually like trying to make it its own value proposition as it stands, as its own individual thing. And I think that that is often a missed trick as well, particularly if you've got a large database of engaged people that would be interested in that. Just not many people do that.
You're right. And an example of a newsletter that I follow is a company called TDLR.
Yep.
Are you aware of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And I've been subscribed to their newsletter for the best part of 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. I mean, you sit down at 9:30 or 9 o'clock or 8, whenever, with your morning coffee.
Yep.
And you can just read through that the latest things that's happening in digital marketing, media, AI, anything that you opt into. And that's a perfect example of that value exchange right there. Like, they are giving the right information to the right people at the right time.
Yeah. And it's just a decision to make. They're making email stand on its own 2 feet as its own legitimate piece of value. As we move through and navigate our way through 2024, we're almost half, well, what are we? We're in the second quarter, aren't we?
Almost.
So there's a massive amount of change this year in terms of cookies, consent, and that whole journey is progressing at a rapid pace this year. So the importance of first-party data is becoming ever more prevalent.
Yeah.
And obviously email and your email database fits perfectly into that world. So what's your take on the importance of first party data, and how do you think brands should be kind of doing their best right now to develop their own first party data? Because it is just going to be so important as we get through this year.
100%. And when I was working on agency side, and when I was in my previous role at TikTok, like, first party data didn't get spoken about a whole deal, and was always one of those subjects where it's like, yeah, we could do that, but we don't really see it sort of scale. And that's fine. I mean, brands are very fixated. I still think they are much fixated on sort of driving that first sale, right?
Yep.
And I think a lot of brands and a lot of marketers forget about, like, right, after that first sale, how do we drive the second sale, the third sale, the fourth sale? Because the hardest job really, and the most expensive part of it, is getting that first conversion in the door.
Absolutely.
So there's retention strategies and other things that brands need to be focusing on in order to sort of drive that lifetime value and drive that retention piece.
Yeah.
But first party data, to your point, with the demise of the first party cookie, legislation in the EU now making it a lot harder to target individuals on platforms like Meta and TikTok, for example. Like, brands need to be thinking about their first-party data. They need to get their ducks in a row from that perspective, and be thinking about the ways they can be using their first-party data to be informing their campaigns.
Absolutely. It's just such an important part of marketing moving forwards. First off, you own it.
You own it.
And once you own it, no one can take that away from you, right? So your email data is just so, so, so important. Secondly, there's everything we talked about in terms of email marketing that you can obviously within your database, that's a big thing. But there's, you know, the platforms offering offline conversion tracking as an example, and importing that data back into platforms like Google Ads to get more performance, because you're providing more signals, and you're providing more signals from the data that you own.
Yeah.
And that's just such a big, I think that's the way those platforms are going. So having a good set of detailed, well-segmented first-party data is critical.
It's absolutely critical.
So I think that's a big part of the future. So to wrap up, Will, what would your, if you had to pick one big piece of advice for someone looking to do a better job with their email, what would you say that is?
Oh, it's a big question. I would say, first of all, for any marketer that is listening to this, I would say prioritize email marketing just as much as you're prioritizing your other paid channels.
Yep.
I would say that's a solid piece of advice, because if you look at the stats, if you look at the analytics and the ROI off the back of it, and you compared that to the other channels that you're working with, I think you'll quickly see that email is a super cost-efficient channel for driving success for brands. So I'd say from a mindset perspective, look at email, ask those questions to see how you can sort of adopt email marketing sort of more broadly across your marketing mix. And then off the back of that, I would say, look at your first party data and just begin segmenting your audiences and tailoring that messaging to the different types of customers you have within your database.
Brilliant. And number three, pay for MailChimp.
And number three, I mean, yeah, that's the easiest step, right?
I honestly thought that was going to be your point one, but...
No, really, oh God, no. But look, not today anyway.
Brilliant. Look, well, thank you so much for coming down and thanks for the chat. It was brilliant. And like you, I think people should prioritize email. So I'm sure people would have found that helpful and insightful. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do come and subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube. Do come and say hello on social as well. And we very much hope to see you on the next episode.